This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. In an interview last weekend with Kristen Welker of NBC News' Meet the Press, former and future President Donald Trump doubled down on plans to deport everyone who is in the United States without legal status.
When somebody comes here illegally, they're going out. It's very simple. When they come here illegally, they're going out. Now, if they come here illegally, but their family is here legally, then the family has a choice. The person that came in illegally can go out, or they can all go out together.
Then on Monday night, Tom Homan, who's going to be Trump's border czar, addressed a group of Republicans in Chicago's Portage Park neighborhood. He echoed Trump, saying that the mass deportations would start the day after inauguration, and then he said the plan would, quote, start right here in Chicago, Illinois. Immigrants in Chicago and across the state, along with groups that serve them, have been preparing for the months and years ahead. Here to talk about this in our Friday look at politics is Katrina Pham. She's audience engagement reporter with Borderless Magazine, a Chicago-based news outlet focusing on immigrants and the issues they face. Katrina, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also with us is Mac Lederman, a reporter with Block Club Chicago. He wrote this week about Homan's remarks and the reaction to them. Mac, welcome to you as well.
Ryan, great to be on the show. Thank you.
Katrina, I'm going to start with you, and I'm going to step back a month to those first couple of days after the election. What are some of the reactions you heard to Trump's victory among people in Chicago's immigrant communities?
Yeah, so the morning after the election, the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights, they gathered at Casa Michoacan in Pilsen, and there was a lot of mixed feelings in the room, but I think overall the sentiment was to fight back. You know, a lot of people were talking about how this was a reminder of what happened in 2016 when they gathered in the same room at that time and reflected on Trump's election. And so a lot of the sentiment was, we did this one time, we can do it again.
Mac, now, of course, we're hearing more about Trump and his administration's plans for the next term. Let's focus on that speech that I mentioned from Tom Homan and what he said would or could happen in Chicago in terms of these mass deportations. What was take us there? What was that all about?
Yeah, Brian, it was quite the scene on the northwest side in Portage Park, which, believe it or not, happens to be a Republican stronghold in the city of Chicago. Trump routinely scored over 40% of the vote in that part of the city in the last election. So Homan was in town to make remarks at a part Christmas party, part celebration of Trump's election. And it's very hard to tell at this point how much he's just a tough-talking pundit versus an actual action maker. He's gone on this conservative media blitz, taking his sights at sanctuary cities, including Chicago, which promised limited to no cooperation with ICE. Homan, though, is the former director of ICE, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And if you remember from Trump's first term under that position, he was the architect of a zero tolerance policy in which he separated over 5,500 migrant children from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border. To this day, Brian, over 1,400 of those children have not been reconnected with their families. Homan left that position under the political pressure from that move, but he's back this time and he's promising to focus less on the border itself and take aim directly at sanctuary cities, starting with Chicago.
Well, what does that mean? So a sanctuary city, that's a state law or maybe a municipal ordinance that, as you said, it means that, local government, local law enforcement agencies are not supposed to cooperate with ICE officials. But Homan thinks he can kind of defeat that in some way, right? What is he saying there?
Well, Homan's making a big case. He says he's going to prosecute Mayor Johnson if he, quote unquote, conceals and harbors asylum seekers, like the city has done welcoming over 50,000 people since Republican governors began busing migrants to the city of Chicago. Earlier last week, he promised to throw the Denver mayor in jail, quote unquote, if he did anything to prevent pretty much federal immigrant officials from stomping through town, going into Cook County jails. And, you know, questioning people and removing them. He says he's going to start with criminals and then go on to, quote unquote, the others around them. How much he's able to do of this, Brian, is still very much unclear. The city of Chicago and Cook County around it do have a series of protections preventing these types of mass deportation events. I could go into the details of those, but I don't think we have enough time. They are very plentiful. For example, undocumented detainees inside Cook County Jail Do not have to sit for interviews with ICE agents. ICE agents aren't allowed to go into the jail to see them. Cook County officials aren't required to notify federal authorities when undocumented detainees are released into local custody. The state law also prevents ICE from renting out beds inside jails. Under the Lightfoot administration in Chicago, she strengthened the rules that pretty much does not let ICE have access to local police databases about people who are undocumented. How much CPD might be informally cooperating with ICE currently is unclear. ICE does have an office in the city of Chicago. And there are these things called fusion centers in which data between local police departments and ICE officials can be shared about people suspected of criminal or gang activity. So how much Homan can actually do is very unclear. I do not really see any path, certainly, where he could prosecute or throw mayors in jail, but that's the game he's currently talking.
Katrina, how does this fit into the bigger picture of what Trump is talking about in terms of immigration and asylum and citizenship?
Yeah, I mean, I think it aligns with all of his rhetoric throughout his campaign and, you know, ever since he was elected, and just continuing to talk about these big policies and big hopes for these mass deportations, right? And he kind of zoomed in on talking about mass deportations for criminals now. But he really wants to target asylum seekers and people who are undocumented. And so Homan's proposed policies really align with those Trump's suggestions for the immigration policy.
You know, President-elect Trump has also promised to end birthright citizenship. Last time I checked, that was guaranteed by the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, and changing that would be a long process with a high bar. But Katrina, how much of this can the executive branch really carry out on its own?
Trump has the ability to carry out certain aspects of immigration policy through executive order. And now that he has control two of the House and the Senate, he can probably push for some of his legislative items in ways that Biden probably couldn't. But I think that will still depend on, you know, what he pushes for in those two bodies.
All right. This is the 21st show. Let me remind listeners, we're talking about politics, our Friday roundtable, and specifically today we're focusing on immigrant communities in Illinois, some of the concerns people in those communities are facing heading into a second Trump term where his administration has promised mass deportations. We're talking about this with Katrina Pham, who's with Borderless Magazine, and Mac Lederman with Block Club Chicago. So, Mac, you mentioned earlier that this is not Homan's first go round in the federal government in the realm of immigration. He was in charge of ICE for a year and a half, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Talk a little bit more about the mark that he left on our immigration policy in that time.
Oh, that was obviously a devastating policy. I think he is most known for the zero tolerance policy related to the separation of migrant children from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border. This was done under the gaze of pretty much limiting the idea of anyone coming within the country. Zero tolerance means exactly that, zero tolerance, that there will be ramifications to pay if you come to this country through the border. And he did that by separating children from their families. Trump quickly reversed that policy after the public pressure around it. It was short-lived, but still to this day, 1,400 children, and that's according to the Department of Homeland Security, who have not been reunited with their parents. Those children are obviously not quite old enough to tell their stories, but when they are, I think we're going to hear a lot about the devastating effects that had on their lives. Being separated from their parents is something that was widely criticized across the board. Homan has worked for several presidents, including President Barack Obama, who had more deportations within his presidencies than Trump did in his terms. Biden sits below in deportations behind both Trump and Obama, but Homan has long been a tough-talking, a tough-walking ICE official. He wore the uniform himself at the border. So the way he talks about it seems like he's not messing around here.
You mentioned 1,400 young people still in this system. Are they in custody? Are they still in these sort of camps that were set up down in Texas, or...?
I'm not sure, but I also don't believe so. Okay. I do know that number comes from the Department of Homeland Security, and they haven't had confirmed reunification. So
okay. I
believe
I see
that
what you're
the
saying.
Government
okay.
is tracking those families, but has not confirmed whether the children and the parents have been reunited.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. You know, Katrina, we heard Max say there that, some of these people are still young enough or not maybe public-facing enough to tell their own stories, but we do know something about how Trump's first term affected people in these immigrant communities. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about an example of one individual we spoke to at Borderless Magazine, whose husband was from Syria, and they met while she was volunteering in Syria. And when she came to the US and they had already been married, he was not in the country at the time. And because of Trump's Muslim travel ban during his time in office, he was not allowed to return to the country during this time. And so I think that is just one anecdote and one example of the devastation that can co that can be that can come as a result of Trump's policies, like his proposed travel bans, his policies that, you know, want to separate families and talking about, you know, having whole families like leave the country if one member of the family is undocumented.
And are these effects, I mean, are there still people trying to deal with the aftermath of this, as far as you know?
Yeah, I think there are still people who are dealing with the aftermath. I mean, prior to Trump's election, we spoke to people throughout Chicago about how they were feeling in terms of, you know, the option of having Trump as a president. And now that he has been elected, they're feeling a lot of concern, especially families who people who are from mixed status families and people who are who have family members who are undocumented and not sure what's going to happen to their family members, not sure if they have to leave with their family members, and are trying to build safety plans to kind of prepare for what happens when he's inaugurated.
Mac Lederman with Block Club Chicago. So we mentioned earlier this speech that Homan gave in Chicago, and he, you know, some of the things he's talked about is prosecuting, as you said, Mayor Johnson, for harboring immigrants. What reaction have you heard from Illinois officials to these remarks and these plans?
Yeah, obviously the policy impacts of what Homan can and can't do remain rather unclear. Border Czar is not an official position in the presidency. It's one that does not require Senate confirmation, but it could have untold impact on Trump, on influencing Trump's immigration policy going forward. Governor J.B. Pritzker spoke about Homan's remarks recently, and he kind of restated just that it's really unclear whether Homan can actually do many of these things that he's touting that he can do. Border Czar is not an official position. Brandon Johnson, in a press conference following the election of Trump, reiterated his commitment to Chicago's sanctuary city status. He promised that they will not bend or break, that they're going to remain firm in their values here. But we see that yesterday, actually, Homan met and sat down with New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Adams came out and said that he is now looking to dismantle the sanctuary city status of New York City and work with Homan to begin deportations of supposed criminal migrants. How that pans out is yet to be seen. As many people know, Adams is currently under federal indictment for bribery, wire fraud, other charges related to accepting perks from the Turkish government. He's under turmoil. He's claimed that that indictment is politically motivated because of his criticism of Biden's rather immigration's policies that kind of allowed Republican governors to bus migrants to sanctuary cities all across the country, creating humanitarian crises in many places. In the city of Chicago, we've worked to stand up as many as 28 temporary shelters. Many of those shelters, as Katrina has reported, have been criticized for subpar conditions and limits on their stays. We're now down to only six temporary shelters, Brian. And that's because Biden has dapped daily capped daily border crossings at 2,500 a day, given this outpouring of challenges from these cities to accept these people and assimilate them into their communities. So a complicated issue. On one hand, I don't think we really know what Homan can do. And on the other hand, I don't think officials quite yet know how they can respond to it.
Yeah, well, and Katrina, how about that? I mean, how there are tens of thousands of migrants that Republican governors bus to Chicago over the past couple of years. Do we have any idea how this push might affect them?
I think they're definitely going to see some issues in the immigration court, which has already been immensely backlogged for years. And people, everyone who comes to the country and is wanting to stay here legally has to go through the immigration court, and people who are under deportation orders also have to be processed through the immigration court. And so if Trump takes aim at mass deportations and wanting to deport people. He wants to use probably expedited removal program, which wouldn't require people to be deported before an immigration judge, depending on how long they've been in the country. But for people who have been in the country for longer, or for people from other backgrounds, they still have to be processed through the immigration court, in which in my previous reporting, it has taken months and even years for people to have their cases tried in immigration court. And so I think for a lot of the migrants who are here, they're probably going to see a lot of limbo over what happens next for them. And I think in the short term, a lot of folks are trying to look for legal assistance, and a lot of the community organizations throughout Chicago and Illinois who were already kind of overwhelmed by the need for legal assistance are seeing an even higher need now for legal clinics and legal aid, and people coming for advice and not really sure what to apply for and what to do next. And so I think there's a lot of confusion by people who are here, and I think that will some that is something that will continue to happen as Trump comes into office and tries to make these big changes to the immigration system.
Well, just a less than much less than a minute left. Katrina, briefly, maybe just a few sentences. What are you going to be watching for in the months ahead?
I think one thing is I'm going to really be looking at restrictions in data sharing between Chicago, Illinois, and ICE. I think we already have, as Mac mentioned, a lot of protections in place for immigrants in Illinois in terms of how the local government can cooperate with ICE. But I think immigration rights groups in Chicago are going to be pushing for these restrictions in data sharing to further protect people on a local level.
All right. Katrina Pham is with Borderless Magazine. Mac Lederman is with Block Club Chicago. Thank you for being with us and sharing your work with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
More to come after a short break. We are going to be talking with your neighborhood historian. Dilla is back on the program. He is became famous for telling about Chicago history on TikTok. He's moved on to YouTube with a new project called You Don't Know Shy. We're going to be talking with him about it after this break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.